Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts?
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who.
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not.
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcasts. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships,
and so much more.
Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
All right, now, thank you for tuning in to the GSMC MMA podcast. I'm your host, Tate. With me is my main man, Hermilo. Man, Hermilo, you picked the perfect time to come a part of our team here. This is Conor Khabib week. How you doing, my friend?
Doing great. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I am fired up for this show here. You've been watching everything, I'm assuming, right? Everything leading up to this?
Oh, yeah.
So, to give everybody a quick rundown, this is our UFC 228 preview show. Primarily, we're going to cover and talk about Khabib versus Conor. We're going to give our thoughts on the fight, how it's going to go, what we've seen so far at the open workouts, what we've seen so far in the press conference, what we've seen with the weigh-in. And if we have more time, we will also touch on a few other fights on this card. Preferably, we're definitely going to talk about the Tony Ferguson-Anthony Pettis fight. I have my one fight that is a little bit lower on the card, but I am super excited about. We're definitely going to talk about that Tonya Evinger Aspen Ladd fight. We may even touch on a little bit of the Black Beast and him and his fight. So we are ready to roll. So I'm going to let you start off, Hermilo. What has been the one thing that is with everything that's going on? And I mean, like I said, the weigh-in, the open workout, the press conference. What have you seen experiencing this event of this magnitude?
Conor taking the show. I mean, no doubt, Conor doing what he does best. His antics, talking smack. But at the same time, I was telling you earlier that during his media workout, I noticed that he's also very calm, very relaxed, and he seems happy.
Conor is... You know, the one thing when I watch Conor, I say, Conor's enjoying this. That's the one thing that I am getting from this. When I watch Conor at the press conference and everything, he's taking this very, very serious. You can tell he really wants to smash Khabib, as far as using his words, that he wants to win this fight. He wants to show that he can do the impossible. But it does seem like he's enjoying it, where at the press conference, at the first press conference in New York, at the open workout, Khabib seemed angry. And that concerns me. Did you get the same vibe that Khabib definitely seemed angry and affected by Conor's antics? Or do you think, because there's some people to say that Khabib has been quite calm through this. I don't see the calmness. I see a lot of anger and emotions. What do you see, Hermilo?
I do see a little bit of it. I mean, you have to give credit to McGregor. I mean, he's been talking a lot about Khabib's, I think, manager, also talking about his father, his people. So I think to a certain degree, yeah, he's gotten a little bit under Khabib's head. But at the same time, it seems like Khabib is a mentally strong person. So I think he can handle it. I think he'll be very conscious about remaining calm and not letting McGregor get into his head.
Okay. Now, see, this is the part where when I look at this, this is the thing that makes Conor so great. And that is, if you can get a fighter to be emotional, one of two things can happen. The first thing is a fighter will get over-aggressive, kind of like Jose Aldo did. Conor got into Jose Aldo's head, and he came charging over, and he ran into something super fast. Conor would love to see Khabib get reckless and come crashing in on him. The next thing is to be super cautious. If Conor can get Khabib to be a little cautious and not and a little tight in that first round, that's very dangerous for Khabib as well, because if Khabib comes in tight and he's not shooting takedowns and making Conor uncomfortable, and Conor gets comfortable in that ring, that's when something big can happen. That's the reason why Conor's strategy of constantly digging at Khabib, constantly making him angry, has been a major factor in this one. And then we're going to give predictions on this fight a little later on. But it is definitely something that I am considering when looking at these two guys, is how are these antics affecting Khabib, and how do I think Khabib is going to handle these antics? What's your thoughts so far as what I just said?
No, I agree. But I was just thinking right now, as you were saying that, it's like, imagine if they actually had a full-on worldwide promotion.
Kind of like Mayweather McGregor had.
Or like Aldo. I mean, they went all over the place, and McGregor just had more chance to dig in at him. You know what I mean?
And I think that's why Khabib didn't agree to it. I also, you know, that's another thing I want to talk about at the press conference. Conor has always been consistently late. One of the things that Khabib did, which a lot of people gave him credit for, is Khabib made Dana start the press conference on time. So they ended up having a press conference, which was kind of like a 3-in-1 press conference. The beginning of the press conference was questions for Khabib. Then Khabib eventually just said, I'm out of here and I'm leaving, which actually for me kind of showed me that the emotional effect that this whole buildup has had on Khabib, because I felt like he was trying to make a point, like, no, I'm not going to wait for Conor. I'm going to say mine and then I'm leaving. And the weird thing is he said 15 more minutes. I'm going to wait 15 more minutes. And then it was like a minute later, Khabib was up and out of there. Then the second part of it was merely asking questions with Dana White about from John Jones to the 165 to Nate Diaz to Dustin Poirier. So that was that second part. And then finally, Mystic Mac showed up, and that crowd went wild. You watched the press conference. What was your take from there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just what you were talking about in terms of Khabib leaving a little early. I think at the same time, you know, he, like he said, he was on schedule. I mean, you know, he had to go back and he had to cut weight. So in a sense, I kind of respect the fact that he's like, okay, I'm here to do my duties when it comes to the media. But at the same time, I'm not going to wait for this guy. I mean, I know he's the big dog. I understand he's a poster boy, but I have to leave and I have to do my weight cut.
So do you agree with his decision on leaving the press conference early?
I agree. I mean, I understand people are going to boom, especially McGregor fans, you know, because he is talking smack on McGregor and not waiting for him. But at the same time, I mean, he has to do what he has to do. I understand McGregor probably did that, you know, to get in his head. And also, you never know if they're on schedule to cut weight. He's trying to delay it. Put Khabib at a disadvantage in a way. So Khabib's very conscious about that and says, okay, well, I'm going to leave. I'm not going to let that happen.
I personally think, even though I do feel that Khabib has become a little emotional, I think it was the right decision. Number one, you just didn't want to have a... If you could avoid getting into a verbal sparring session with Conor, avoid it at all times. There was another fighter. I can't even think of who it was. Like, if I ever fight Connor, I'm putting my headphones on. I'm turning the internet off. I'm turning everything off. I'm just not going to listen to him. Because that is Connor, in my opinion, Connor's greatest weapon. It's not that left hand. It's his mouth. And how he can mentally get into a fighter. And how a fight, so many fighters have taken things so, so personal. And it's kind of hard not to when someone's yelling things at you and cursing at you. It's very hard to keep your cool. But as far as him coming to, you know, Khabib leaving, I think it was a smart move. An interesting thing at that press conference that surprised me was that Khabib actually mentioned a statement where he said he did not like the fact that Dana White said, grab Connor's belts, because Khabib is right. Connor was stripped of that title, and then they made interim champion Tony Ferguson. Tony Ferguson got injured, and then they stripped Tony Ferguson, and then it ended up being Khabib versus Al Quinta. And so the undisputed champion is Khabib, not Connor, even though no one's beat him for it. So I don't blame Khabib for not being happy about that. But I did notice that he did bring that fact up. Did you notice that?
Well, I noticed it. And at the same time, I think he's justified for it. I mean, McGregor did not fight for 2 years. You cannot have a guy hold the title for 2 years and not fight. I mean, so I think it was okay for McGregor to be stripped.
It was one of the weird things about marching around Vegas and watching everything leading up to this is you had three guys all making claims to the lightweight title. You had Tony Ferguson walking around with his interim belt. You had Khabib walking around with his belt. You had Connor walking around with two belts. Neither one of those belts he's champion of, and neither one of them that he defended. So I found it fascinating that the UFC allowed that to go on. But, you know, they let it go on, and I did like, because I thought it did add a lot more sizzle to this event.
I agree 100%.
Okay, so when you look at that, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the weigh-in, the stare-down, and a few other things. Stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, we're back. I'm here with Hermilo, and we are talking about the Conor McGregor, Khabib Nurmagomedov, UFC 229.
28.
20. 29. No, it's UFC 229. Now you got to make sure. I'm almost positive it is UFC 229.
29, you're right.
229. You're a pay-per-view away, my friend.
Edit.
So it's just one of those things. It's okay. So now we're looking at this. We've been talking about the fight, and the question I have for you, because something that I notice when you're looking at this event, and one of the things that's always been talked about is that you're going to have the Russian fans versus the Irish fans. And I don't believe this is the case. The Irish fans have come out in groves, and it is very, very obvious. But so far, I really haven't seen a lot of the Russian fans that everyone was expecting. Have you noticed this? And what was your thoughts on that?
That's what I thought, actually. When I was looking at the crowd, it seems like it's a pro-McGregor crowd.
Oh, it is.
By a landslide.
No, I'm like, it doesn't seem that way. It is.
Oh, yeah.
It is an absolute fact that it is pretty much all Conor fans. You can't even hear the Khabib fans.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't see anything. I was looking actually at the weigh-in really quick, and everybody, it seems like they all have Irish flags or they're all cheering for McGregor. I don't see a lot of Khabib fans, fortunately.
Yeah, no. And you know, that's one of the things, since you brought up the weigh-in, it's a good transition. One of the things that we talked about, was it a good thing for Khabib to leave the press conference early? But one of the reasons why Khabib left early was because he really wanted to make sure he made weight. And Khabib has had some issues in the past making weight. Matter of fact, with Tony Ferguson once, they had to drop an event because Khabib ended up going to the hospital, and Tony Ferguson and Khabib never fought for the lightweight title. So the biggest concern and the reason why Tony Ferguson was on this card is just in case Khabib or Conor didn't make the fight, an injury. Something happened. Tony Ferguson was supposed to weigh in. Well, when the official weigh-ins happened this morning, the very first person to walk in the door was Khabib Nurmagomedov. He was right on point with weight right out the gate. And I thought it was super smart. He made weight and he got rehydrated. That was a really big factor, was the weigh-in. And I was really surprised that Khabib was one of the first ones. And some of the last people to weigh in was Conor, Aspen Ladd, and Anthony Pettis. What was your thoughts? Were you surprised that Conor came in and weighed in so early and so fast?
Conor, Khabib.
I mean, Khabib. Khabib came in and weighed in really fast.
I was surprised. I was not expecting that. But like I said, going back to the press conference when he was like, you know what, I have to leave because I have a schedule to follow. I think he was just very conscious about, I have these things that I need to do in order to lose the weight, and then as soon as possible, rehydrate. So I think it makes sense. I mean, he was, you know, he took it serious.
You know, when you're a fighter and you're it's one of those things that is super important to stay on your schedule. And it seems like Khabib is sticking to that schedule. And if you're in, one of the best ways to keep Conor out of your head is if they have a regimented schedule, keeping Khabib on that regimented schedule makes it so that Conor's antics does not affect him as bad as it has affected others, because this is not a normal fight. You got press conferences that are not going to be, that's not normal. You have thousands and thousands of people that will show up at the weigh-in. The level of media that's there that's going to ask you questions. There's so much going on that it's very tough to adhere to a schedule. And I think that's one of the things that Conor's training team is doing, is keeping him to a schedule.
I was just going to say, I wonder if you noticed, because you just mentioned that right away he rehydrated, Khabib. He rehydrated right away, but did you notice that he crouched down and took a sip of water? What did you think of that?
Well, that's kind of a normal thing. A lot of fighters will do that. When you go to the weigh-ins, some people will just, they will bring their water with them, from Pedialyte to a Gatorade to whatever sports drink they're having. And they will immediately rehydrate. And the reason why that is because of the fact that when you're going through and you're sitting in the sauna or you're sitting in the tub and you're just draining yourself of liquids, every second counts. And the fact that Khabib went down immediately and grabbed liquids showed that Khabib he really had to dehydrate. But also, the quicker you get fluids back in you, the quicker you're in much better shape. When you get dehydrated down, kind of like Anthony Pettis, but especially Aspen Ladd, when you get dehydrated down like they do, the reason why you have to hydrate so fast is because the body will rehydrate, but it takes a lot longer for the brain to recover. And If you've ever done a weight cut, you can get that the liquids into your muscle, but the brain, it just takes a little bit more time. And if you don't rehydrate and get properly rehydrated, you open yourself up to be caught and knocked out. And so that's one of the reasons why they try to get, you know, I thought it was super smart to have Khabib weigh in first, because what's the one thing that everyone's going to say about Conor, and what's his chance? A knockout. So you want to make sure Khabib gets that liquid in his system and start rehydrating the brain right away.
Now, you've seen Khabib weigh-ins many, many times before. What did you think? The way he looked in terms of drained, the eyes sunk in, was that typical Khabib during weigh-ins?
Oh, no. See, I thought Khabib looked good at the weigh-in. I thought he, as far as him cutting weight and the weigh-in, body-wise, I thought Khabib was fine. The biggest concern I have is that Conor's antics are affecting him. And I, like he said, it's personal. I'm going to smash your guy. He really wants to show Conor up, and that's a bad thing. I would like to see him less emotional and less eager to cause damage, because when you overdo it, either you're going to freeze up, disaster, or you're going to get over aggressive, disaster, when a guy like Conor. And so that's what I'm seeing there. Another thing that happened that was brought up during the press conference that I was kind of surprised on, that Dana White said two things. First off, he said he is not having a 165 weight class. And I understand why he didn't want the 165 weight class, because of the fact that he's saying guys that can't get the title at 155, they're going to go to 165. And guys that can't get to 170, they're going to go down. And it's going to deplete two of the top divisions. And so I understand that. But the other thing that he said, that Dana White said, that surprised me is that right now, this event is trending on pay-per-view buys more than McGregor Mayweather. And they're talking $3.5 million. Do you think they're going to hit a $3 million pay-per-view buys?
I don't know, because I've been hearing this is the biggest fight in UFC history. And I mean, I'm new to this, but it just doesn't seem like it to me. Maybe because they haven't done a lot of promotion.
It doesn't seem. So you don't think it has that feel of being the biggest?
I don't think. And the reason why, for example, you're going to compare it to Mayweather, and then McGregor, but those are two huge stars. You cannot compare the stardom of Khabib with, like, let's say McGregor. It's both don't sell the same way.
Now, see, this is one of these things that's really sneaky. When you look at, first off, I don't think it's going to be considered the greatest fight, the biggest fight. It may be the greatest fight, but it may not be the biggest. The biggest fight in history, I still say, is, I think it's Akebono versus Hoist Gracie. If I remember correctly, there's over 50 million people watch that fight. But when you're talking pay-per-view buys, this is definitely going to be the biggest pay-per-view event in UFC history. But the big difference, and I'm going back to getting back on point of what I was going to say, and that is this. Conor, this is going to be a big selling event. There's a ton of people that are just the casual fans that are showing up to watch this fight. Conor brings that international flavor, in which there's going to be a lot of international pay-per-view buys. But you're also bringing in two markets, in my opinion, that are very understated. And the first one is the obvious one, and that is that Russian market. You're going to get a lot of Russian pay-per-view buys this time that don't normally buy pay-per-view. And then the last one is that I've noticed that Khabib definitely has a very strong Muslim following. And that's a market that I think has been underappreciated. But I think you're going to get a lot of Muslims tuning in to support their guy, Khabib. And so that makes it an interesting factor there, too. So this is going to be, as far as pay-per-view buys and international appeal, this fight has it all. What's your thoughts on what I said about the Russians and the pay-per-view buys as a whole?
No, I that's a good point, actually. I didn't consider the fact what you're just talking about, the Muslim community all around the world.
Yes.
It's just not Russians. It's the Muslim community, which is huge. I mean, in the UK, all over Europe, it's an enormous community.
And, you know, they're not as vocal, but when you're there and you're looking around and you're looking at the workouts and you're looking at the press conference, there was a lot of people that it's hard to say assume someone's Muslim, but when you look around and when you think stereotypical Muslim, I see a lot of Muslims there that are there and supporting Khabib. I didn't see as many Russians. I was expecting an enormous contingent of Russians just everywhere yelling for Khabib, but I didn't see it. But that doesn't mean they're not there. It doesn't mean they're not flying in tonight. It doesn't mean they're not driving in tonight. Tomorrow is going to be a madhouse.
So you think it hits 4 million? Because Mayweather was 4.3.
I still think, like, the original predictions of 2.5 million is what I'm thinking. The fact that Dana and Connor are talking 3.5 million, I just don't know about that. I'm predicting about a 2 million pay-per-view buy, which will still make it the biggest event in history. What about you?
Yeah, I was just going to say 2.5 sounds reasonable. Because how much did Nate and McGregor do?
Oh, crap.
That was a good one. That was a pretty big one.
You know what? We are going to go on a break. But when we come back, I'll give you those numbers of what are the largest pay-per-view buys in the history of MMA. That's a great question. And we have to go to break anyway. So when we come back, I'll have that and we'll cover some more. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
All right, we're back, and we're talking about that McGregor. I thought say Mayweather, McGregor versus Khabib event that's going to happen UFC 229, and that is tomorrow. This is Christmas Eve in my book. The other thing we're talking about is everyone's saying this is the biggest event in MMA history. And I don't know if it's the biggest, will be the most watched event in history. I think that's still going to be Akabono versus Hoist Gracie. But as far as pay-per-view numbers go, when we went on break, we decided to pull that up. And Hermilo pulled that up just to see what are the top ones. So give me the top 10 pay-per-view events. Go from 10 to 1. All right, let me see if I know these. Go
ahead. Okay, so number 10, UFC 114, Jackson versus Evans.
That was Rampage versus Rashad Evans. That was a big event, especially since it's kind of funny that last week, you know, you had Rampage actually fighting again. So that was back in 2010.
Okay. Yeah, and they did just a little bit over $1,050,000.
Okay.
So not too bad. The next one, number 9, UFC 92, which was the Ultimate 2008. Do you remember that?
Now, which one was that? I'm looking at that one. Okay, that was a pretty good card.
Ooh, Jackson was in there too.
So you actually, how fitting is it that you had this event, you had Wanderlei Silva versus Rampage Jackson. And once again, last weekend, we had Wanderlei Silva and Rampage Jackson. We had Frank Mir versus Big Nog. And then we also had Forrest Griffin versus Rashard Evans. And I won't bore you too much on some of these, but I was just trying to see which ones were listed here. And then what else do we have here? Let me go back here.
Yeah.
And okay, and I'll let you run through the rest of these.
No worries, no worries. So this one did, same thing, 1,050,000. And then going up would be UFC 207, that crazy fight between Nunes and Rousey. That one did 1.1 million. And then going up, UFC 193, Rousey again versus Holm.
And that shows you the power that Ronda, oh, yeah, Ronda brought in. So up until 2015, Ronda was the UFC big draw. But you can tell, you can actually tell where Conor kicked in at.
Yeah, so same thing with that one, 1.1 million. And then it follows with Lesnar versus, let me see how you pronounce it, Carwin.
Shane Carwin, yes.
Carwin, okay, cool. Okay,
that was a big one. You know, Brock Lesnar now about to come back and actually going to fight Daniel Cormier for the heavyweight title. And then the Conor McGregor era kicks in.
Oh, yeah, and that one did 1,160,000. And then, yes, McGregor versus Aldo. UFC 194, 1.2.
The shot heard around the world.
Okay, and then after that was UFC 100.
Which I think is the greatest UFC event of all time. Next to this event could, well, best UFC card. This UFC 100 was just stacked from top to bottom. Now we roll into the true Conor McGregor era. What was next?
Oh, yeah. And just so you know, this one, UFC 100, that one did 1.3 million. So I think you're right. Yes. A lot of people were watching that fight. And then Alvarez McGregor, UFC 206, 1.3 as well. McGregor Diaz won. 1,317,000, same thing, 1.3. And then the big one so far, as of now at least, McGregor Diaz 2, which was 1.5. So what do you think based off of those?
Yeah, you know, I still think it's going to be closer to 2 million, maybe 2.5. I don't think Dana's going to be right. I'd be shocked. If it passes or does McGregor Mayweather, that makes a crazy situation there.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen, but if it does, I'll be happy for the UFC.
Yes. Guess what? The UFC will be very happy for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And you're looking at a situation where Conor's last two fights, if it gets to that 1.3, 1.5, Conor said he's going to make about $50 million. So that's not a bad payday. What were you going to say?
Well, it's interesting that you say that because I think, if I'm not mistaken, now correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard Dana saying that actually McGregor for the Mayweather fight, he did not make $100 million. He made more like $60 million.
And that could be. And they never really disclosed exactly how much he made because Floyd ended up making a little bit less than Floyd was expected to make like $300 million. And mm-hmm. He did not make $300 million. He made $100-200 million, but part of that was they were expecting to make it the largest payday in history, which they thought it was going to beat Pacquiao Mayweather, and it didn't. So you're probably right. McGregor probably made $60-70 million, right. And he'll probably make another at 3.5 million, McGregor's going to make a pretty penny.
Because I was just going to say, because if he made 60 out of 4.3 million pay-per-view buys, 2.5, I don't think he'll make 50.
No, I don't. You know,
3.5, then yeah, but not.
But McGregor was saying that 2.5 was that one. Now, when you saw the final, the big thing, and that was the big weigh-in, the big showdown on the unofficial weigh-in, the big event, Conor was really trying to work hard to get into Khabib's head. I think by the time the announcement and things came out for the unofficial weigh-in, this is the big event, the late show when they announce everyone's weight, and that audience was going crazy. Conor smacks Khabib's hand. He throws a kick, but it wasn't really meant to connect. It was just more for show. But I thought Khabib handled that part. He had finally started to settle down. What did you see on that last showdown?
Oh, yeah. Typical McGregor. But I was just thinking when he threw the leg, I was like, oh, there you go. 200,000 more buys.
Oh, yeah. You know, each time he goes through and he does that, it is kind of like more money, more money, more money. Now, when you're looking at this, both of us are very familiar with Conor and very familiar with Khabib. When you're looking at this, what is the key you think for Conor winning, and what do you think the key is for Khabib winning?
Well, this is the thing. I think for Khabib, it's not so much whether he'll be able to get McGregor to the ground. I think based on what I've seen so far, it's just a matter of time. The question, I think, is going to be, can he do what he's been doing to everybody else, which once you get him to the ground, you keep him on the ground. McGregor's really smooth. He knows how to move well. He's not exactly a very good wrestler. He's not very good on the ground, but I think he has he's familiar with it enough that he knows how to maneuver it probably and possibly get out.
So how do you think if you're going to say Conor's going to win, how is he going to win? Or if you're saying Khabib's going to win, how is he going to win?
Okay. McGregor, I think what most people have been saying is catches him with that left, knocks him out.
Okay.
I think two outcomes. One, Khabib gets knocked out, or McGregor just goes down and Khabib just mauls him and a UD.
Okay. A what?
UD.
Oh, unanimous decision.
Yeah.
Okay. You got to clarify. You have some special terminology over here. I was like, wait a minute. It took me a second to realize that you were talking about unanimous decision.
Unanimous decision.
Okay. Now, when I look at this and I say the first thing I'll take Khabib. And the key to Khabib is to stay on his game plan, stay calm, and he's going to have to be patient and look for his opportunities to shoot for single leg and double leg takedowns. And then once he's down, he's going to have to keep him down. But he does not want to get into a firefight. He does not want to get into an exchange with McGregor, because that's when McGregor is at his most dangerous. That's where Conor's skill is far superior standing up than Khabib's. So it's very cut and dry what Khabib has to do. He has to smother Conor's striking, and then he has to shoot for doubles, double legs and single legs, put him up against the cage and take him down. But Conor, it's one of those things that when you watch Conor, he's very deceptive. There's a lot of movement. There's a lot of hand fainting things trying to get him in and engage, getting Khabib, going to try to get Khabib engaged by using hand checks and hand movement. But the real strategy is actually below the waist. And will Conor adopt this? And that is, Conor uses a lot of kicks to keep people off guard. That means lead kicks, oblique kicks, push kicks, leg kicks, and those are to keep people honest. And while people, it's one of those things where he tries to draw a lot of attention to the kicks, the fancy kicks, he uses kicks as a way to, as a range finder to keep distance there. But then the big weapon is that left hand. But he doesn't really fire that left hand that as often as people think. It's more a lot of little short kicks to the upper thigh, to the knee, to the lower part of the body, which kind of keeps them, kind of freezes his opponents. And that's, Khabib is going to be no difference. He's going to use a lot of oblique kicks, push kicks, lead kicks, and a lot of hand movements, with the hope of slowing Khabib down so that Khabib doesn't come rush him and smother him. So with that, as he's doing that, that's when Conor is very efficient and he throws that left hand. One of the things that I noticed early on with the very first press conference is that Khabib had a black eye. That showed me that Khabib has been working with a lot of southpaws. preparing for this fight. The thing that concerns me, though, most is the fact that, yes, it shows that he's working with southpaws, but if he's coming in with that black eye, that shows that there's been a southpaw or two that has actually laid hands on him a little bit. And when you come in and you're a little tight and that left hand lands, that will be a rough situation. Now, before we touch on to some of these other fights, give me your prediction. Also, anything else you have to add?
Well, right before that, because we were just talking about the obvious, right? I mean,
right.
McGregor keeping his distance, you know, using his hand, his feints, the kicks, as well as Khabib with the takedowns. But I was just thinking, there are other factors also come into play when it comes to a fight. Now, one of them is Khabib's never been in a fight of this magnitude before.
Oh, no, that's a major factor. Another one, I agree. I think that's one of the reasons why I said Khabib has to stay on his game plan. And that's one of the things I'm very concerned about is, one, he's very emotional. This is, no one has been in an event like this except for Conor. And when you go into an event like this, you can freeze up or you can get over aggressive and it can cost you.
Oh, yeah. It happens often. So that's the only thing that people, I've heard a lot of, especially fans of Khabib, you know, state the obvious. Oh, he's just going to take him down and maul him. But it's like, well, I mean, you never know because deer in the headlights.
Yes. Another thing is that I think a lot of people have not thought about is the fact that a lot of people, from Chad Mendes all the way down, a lot of people have tried to take Conor down. Conor's takedown defense is a lot better than people think it is. And when you go back and you watch some of his fights, and I went back and I watched like his last like 7 or 8 fights, there was a lot of situations where there was a lot of guys that shot in, all the way from Max Holloway to Chad Mendes. There was a lot of opportunities, and Conor was very successful stuffing the takedown. And when you watch Khabib and you watch his last 2 fights, or last 3 fights, very impressive wins they were. But one thing that I did notice is with Al Aliquinta and a couple other ones, people were able to stuff the takedown on him. And if Conor can stop from being taken down, you could have a long night for Khabib. So that was another thing I wanted to add. Anything else before we start making predictions?
That'd be all. Let's go straight.
All right. You want to go first? Hit me.
I've been thinking about it, going back and forth. One day I'll be all about McGregor. The next day I'll be Khabib. I'm just going to go McGregor by knockout.
Okay. What round and how?
I think it's that left to start it off. I think that left is going to start it. And I'm just going to say probably 3rd or 4th round once Khabib's fatigued.
Okay, I have been very vocal about this, and ever since this fight has been announced, that I thought Khabib is has the best ground and pound of any fighter I've ever seen. Khabib has the ability to take you down and control you down. But when I went back and I watched these fights of the last few of Khabib's, one of the things, there's been a lot of punishment issued out. But all these guys made it out of the first, out of the second, out of the third. And even if Conor gets taken down, it's not a guarantee that he's going to... It's a guarantee that Conor could get some punishment. But there's no guarantee that Conor is going to just get annihilated on the ground. And at the end of the round, you could have a situation where you're going back and you're starting, you know, round 2 starts and we start standing up. Because of that, when I look at things, and then I also take in the fact that this is going to be a big event. There's a lot of anger and emotions there. I'm changing my pick. My original pick was Khabib stops McGregor in the 3rd round. I am changing that pick to, I'm taking Conor McGregor by knockout, 2nd round knockout.
All right.
Are you a little surprised on that one?
I was. I wasn't expecting that, but yeah, good points.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to touch on a few other fights on this card, Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC, Invicta FC, Bellator, and ONE Championship, we got the fights covered. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, we're back, and Emilio and I just finished up giving our predictions. Surprisingly, I made a last second change. I went from Khabib winning by third round knockout and changed my opinion to Conor winning by second round knockout. And Emilio, what was your prediction? Tell everyone.
I said Conor by knockout, probably in the third.
Now, on break, we are talking about, and what if you want to bring this up now, because it's a great point before we move into some of the other fights.
Well, we were just talking about how Khabib has never lost a round. Everybody's making a big fuss about that, which is important. But what about once he fights a guy like McGregor? What if, let's say, after the first round or after the second round, let's say he loses the second round. Let's just say he loses it. What's going to happen when he goes back? He's never experienced anything like that because he has been so dominant.
That is the reason why I changed my prediction from Khabib winning to Conor. And that is, I truly suspect that Khabib could come in a little tight. If he gets caught by Conor and if he's dropped or he gets a little beat up, will that take him completely out of his game? Will it? It's definitely going to put him in foreign territory of a guy who's never lost a round to a guy that's getting beat up and getting caught. Desperation comes in, which creates even more mistakes. That's the reason why I made my change, is because of that question that you asked me. The sheer magnitude of the event, the fact that he doesn't know what it's like. No one knows what adversity will do to a guy. I often think about Francis Ngannou fighting Stipe and how Francis never really felt adversity, and he's not been the same since then. Well, now we got to. Khabib has never really experienced true adversity. How does he handle that? And so that's my big question. Now, we're going to move on from this event, which I know is kind of hard to do, and we're going to talk about a couple other fights that or on this card that I'm super excited about. The first one is that co-main event, Tony Ferguson versus Anthony Pettis. Who are you taking in this one for this particular event? I'm super excited about it. Tony Ferguson coming off of a knee injury, but Tony Ferguson has been like a showstopper this event. The interviews have been fun. He's been having a blast. Anthony Pettis seems like now he's back to being Showtime and actually is back fighting at a peak level. Who are you taking?
I mean, Tony Ferguson looked very comfortable at the weigh-in. I'm going to say Tony. I just have a feeling. I'm trying to think about it in terms of like a technical point, but I just feel Tony might take it. I mean, obviously, as long as he doesn't go to the ground too often, as Pettis has pretty good jiu-jitsu.
Now, see, I'm not even worried even they go to the ground. I think Tony Ferguson is the superior fighter, standing up or on the ground. I'm taking Tony Ferguson to win. It was not lost on me that we've been trying to get Khabib and Tony Ferguson to actually show up at an event and actually make weight and not be injured, and they actually did it this time. Unfortunately, they're not fighting. They're fighting other people. But for finally, we do have an event that both fighters actually made it to. So, but this is going to be, I think it's going to be a very good fight. I do think this is one of two title eliminators. I think if Tony Ferguson wins, then most likely he is the next one up. But you still have to wait for that Diaz Dustin Poirier fight. Yeah. But if Ferguson wins in spectacular fashion, I think he would be the next one up. Another fight that I own this card, and we're going to cover here, is we're going to talk about OSP, Owen St. Preux versus Reyes. Who are your predictions on here? And Dominic Reyes is a really good fighter.
I'll take OSP. I think he's been doing really, really well the last three fights. I'll take OSP by submission.
Okay. When I'm looking at this and I look at Reyes, Reyes has been looking impressive since coming to the UFC, but I'm with you. I'm taking OSP to win by one way or another, some weird submission. I'm taking OSP. What about, let's see, another fight on this card. Volkov versus the Black Beast, Derek Lewis.
I like the Black Beast. I mean, he just has that power.
Yes, serious power in both hands. Both of these guys are both really solid fighters. This is kind of a heavyweight title, you know, eliminator as well. With the fact that Cormier has already stated that he is going to retire at the end of by March, that gives Cormier with two fights less that's left. That's Brock Lesnar, and then maybe a John Jones fight. The winner of this may be fighting for that vacated title here, especially if they fight. Both of these guys are impressive here, but I'm going with Derek Lewis. The last fight wasn't maybe one of Derek Lewis's best fights, but he was having back spasms. As long as his back holds up, Derek Lewis is a very, very dangerous man. I'm taking Derek Lewis by knockout, second round. All right, then we're going to go to the main card opener, which is Michelle Karate Hottie versus Felice Herrick. Who do you like here, the little bulldog or the karate hottie?
Usually I would go with Michelle, but I like the little bulldog.
Oh, really?
I like her.
This fight is going to be too close to call. It's really, you know, I keep thinking about this. Michelle Waterson coming off of a big win. I believe Felice Herrick is coming off of a loss, a very controversial loss. But, she came off, a very close loss. She came with Karolina Kovacevic. So when I look at this and I say, I keep looking at this, I'm going to take Felice Herrick to win a unanimous decision. Is there any other fight on this card that you wanted to talk about?
Let me see. Trying to look at the prelims. Possibly we were talking about it the other day.
Are you talking about Aspen Ladd and Tanya Everinger? Well, first off, I love me some Tanya Everinger. People do not realize, but Tanya Everinger is one of the greatest female fighters in the history of female combat sports. My Mount Rushmore of female combat sports: Cyborg, Gina Carano, Ronda Rousey, Tanya Everinger. I know that sounds, long time Invicta champion. She's fought them all. She's finally in the UFC. The UFC hasn't normally had that look, so the UFC hasn't really given her a chance. Aspen Ladd, she's 6-0. It's funny that Aspen Ladd is actually favored. I'm taking Tanya. The only reservation that I have is that Tanya Everinger is coming off a pretty major injury, and where she had a situation at her camp where her coach allowed her to to grapple and work with a fighter that just came off the street. The guy somehow, whatever happened, Tanya ended up blowing out her knee, tearing up her ACL or MCL, and breaking her femur all at the same time. Devastating, devastating injury. Tanya is coming off of that. But I still think Tanya is way too much for Aspen Ladd. I know Aspen has been very tough, the number 9 rated bantamweight, but I'm taking the crafty veteran, the Invicta champion, and she still says, I am still the champ. I'm taking Tanya Eviger. Who are you taking?
I side with you. I think Tanya.
And, you know, this reminded me, when you look at this card, there's 3 women's fights on this card. All 3 of these women's fights are blockbuster. When I look at on the early prelim, the fight I'm looking forward to the most, Linda Landsberg versus Yana Kunitskaya. Yana Kunitskaya is a very tough Russian fighter. Former Invicta champion. She's super, super tough. And then you have Linda Landsberg, who is known for her elbows, the elbow queen. This is going to be another great fight. Also, one of the things that that hasn't been lost on me is that you have 3 fighters that have all fought Cyborg. All of these are bantamweights, but Lena Landsberg had her UFC debut versus Cyborg. Yana Kunitskaya had her UFC debut versus Cyborg, and also Tanya Eviger. So all 3 of these guys all have Cyborg in common. All 3 of them ended up losing, but they were also fighting Cyborg, which is, that's all you need to say.
Yeah.
And they were fighting out of their weight. Anything else before we wrap this episode of the UFC 229 card, wrap it up and put a bow on it?
We might as well end it with these ladies. Who do you think wins?
I am taking Yana Kunitskaya to win. I didn't even realize that I did not even bring that up. So that is why I bring you around, is to keep me straight. Yana Kunitskaya wins unanimous decision.
Just for fun, I'll go with Lena.
Lena's a tough one. So with that, this concludes our UFC 229 coverage. Sunday, we will have the wrap-up show. Super excited about this. With that, to all, have a good night.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.